Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. In Acts, the 15th chapter, we find a situation where there were disagreements over biblical matters, over how to please God. Let's look again, reading this week from the New American Standard Bible. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, "Unless you were circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees, who had believed, stood up saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses." The apostles and elders came together to look into this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which is neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are." You see, the gospel is different than the law of Moses. The law of Moses was the law to the children of Israel from Mount Sinai, with the giving of the old law and the tablets to also include the dietary laws and the other instruction that would come in the other books of the law. Besides the Ten Commandments, there were a whole lot of dietary and feast, holy days, if you will, that they were to observe. Different types of sacrifices, different things to do if they touched a dead body, to observe the Passover a certain way every year, to observe Pentecost, to have grain offerings and wheat offerings, and to have the blood of bulls and goats, and we had sheep. We had the matter of the scapegoat and the high priest, and different things that would go on in the ceremonial, and yet the law of God to the Jews at that time, not to the Gentile nations. The book of Romans has something to explain in a little portion of Scripture about how God viewed them that were without the law, but not without law unto themselves. But here in the early days of Christianity, we have a beef. Well, that's not very unlike from what it is today. We have people that are saying things that God doesn't require. We should come together. We should come together in the spirit of love and the respect of one another, and recognizing that we could be wrong. And yet we should point to God's Word and defer to God's Word. And it's not so much about who is right, but rather what is right with God. What is well-pleasing with God? And for those doctrines and dogmas that cannot be substantiated by the new covenant, the gospel of Christ, let's throw them away. for we cannot hold to error and be well-pleasing in the sight of God. Well, these people were teaching and trying to hold on to something that was from the old law of Moses. All that was nailed to the cross and taken away, out of the way, fulfilled. Christ said, I come not to destroy the old law, but to fulfill it. And he did, because he kept it perfectly. And many of the prophecies concerning Christ, all of the ones concerning his initial coming, and about his ministry, and about the Acts 2 Pentecost, those things have been fulfilled. They're in the past. And yet there remain some concerning his coming again and the judgment day and the division of people of all time into categories such as the sheep and the goats, and heaven and hell and the earth and the works that are in it will be destroyed, burned up, 2 Peter says, around chapter 3. Back to Acts 15. The apostles and elders came together and they looked into the matter, and they didn't vote. There's some things that are sinful that are being voted on today among denominational bodies, and then they announce to the rest of that denomination what the new rule is, because we voted on it and we changed. They changed all right, and in many times it's a further departure from God's word and not a departure from error that they now realize they've been holding for years, and going back in the sense of going closer to God. They're moving further away from God. We need to draw near unto God. We need to have book, chapter, and verse. We need to have the new covenant rightly divided, discerned properly. We need to be careful about those who are teaching that ought not be teaching what they're teaching. James 3:1 warns about being teachers. There's a heavier judgment that will come to all of us who are teachers of the Word of God. We would do well to leave Acts 15 and move over and look briefly at the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, along a very similar line as what we're talking about in the 15th chapter of Acts. We have this struggle, this tension that continues throughout the New Testament with regard to those who were Jews by nationality and of Gentile nations by nationality. We don't need to have, there's not a separate heaven for those that are the Jews by nationality and the Gentiles, or a black heaven or a white heaven or an Asian heaven or a Hispanic heaven. There's one heaven. There's one Lord. There's one gospel. There is one church, the blood-bought institution of Christ, Acts 20:28. He gave himself for her, in Ephesians 6. Speaks more about that. In Galatians 5, recognizing that Paul is now writing by inspiration of God, the Bible says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Don't go back from Christianity, from the gospel, and try to hold on to the old law of Moses. Verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, it was a liberty. Study Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8, all other passages concerning circumcision in the New Testament. He's not talking about someone who has a liberty. Paul took Timothy, circumcised him. He took Titus. He did not circumcise Titus. It's an either or, not a command, not forbidden, but authorized. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You've fallen from grace, the New King James Version and the King James Version say. You who are seeking to be justified by law, meaning in this context, in this sense or understanding, the law of Moses. You have fallen from grace. Yes, it is possible to fall from grace, meaning to become a Christian, be saved from your past sins, and then fall away. You can still be restored. Oh, yes, he's speaking to Christians. He's not speaking to pseudo-Christians now. Don't go with the invalid argument or point that, oh, they never were Christians in the first place. No, that's not what the Bible says. If you fall from a tree, you have to be in the tree to fall from it. If you've fallen from grace, you have to be in grace to fall from it. You can depart from Christ. John 6, notwithstanding, and we'll touch on that hopefully in the future as we have time. For in Christ Jesus, we're talking about people that are in Christ, verse 6 of Galatians 5. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. It's not required. It's a liberty. It's optional. But faith working through love. Oh, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we must obey the Word of God or we're not well-pleasing in His sight. Jesus told the devil when he was being tempted, turn the stones into bread. He said, no, no, no. For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Are we trying to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? You were running well, Paul says in verse 7 of Galatians 5. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Meaning the continuous action of walking in the light. Not the initial becoming of a Christian, but who? Who? He says, you were running well. You were in the race. You had qualified for the marathon of living the rest of your life as a Christian. That's what he's talking about here in Galatians 5. Back to Acts 15, still in the New American Standard Version. We have, after this discussion and the inspired men of God teaching those who are in error that circumcision is not mandated in order to become a Christian, verse 13, I have a uninspired heading in my Bible, and we need to realize the difference between the inspired text and notes or headings and subheadings, called James's judgment. And after they'd stopped speaking, verse 13, James answered, saying, brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first concerned himself about taking from among the Gentiles a people for his name. With this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after these things I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which is fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from long ago. Therefore it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles, but that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols, and from fornication, and from what is strangled, and from blood. All right, let's look back and recap just a little bit as time is drawing nigh in today's program. We've got people that disagree. We have inspired people on the scene. The apostles give the word of the Lord. No, circumcision is not part of the gospel of Christ. You can't mandate it and be right before God. There's some talk, some disagreement, but there should be an appeal and a respect for God's word in oral fashion from those who are inspired of God in that day. Furthermore, James gets up and links it to the prophets and mentions that the Gentiles by name, specifically in the word of the inspired prophets of old, whom these Jews, all on this occasion, that were at this meeting and gathering, on either side, should have to recognize, yeah, I got to give it up, because the word of God really does say that the Gentiles are going to be part of God's children. And then we have a little dietary law, but it's nothing like that under the law of Moses concerning all the animals and the different fish and different things that they could not eat, but rather what is given to us in verse 20. Our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We'll go forward from the completion of Acts 15, Lord willing, tomorrow. Have a pleasant day.